angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can these things be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word.
Beloved.
I have lost count of the children's Christmas programs that I have witnessed through the years. And it's been my privilege in many of those that I've witnessed to actually speak to those who are gathered after that ministry by the kids. And so I'm thankful to be able to stand before you this morning and do that, to open up the Word of God. I did find out something new this morning. One of the shepherds sitting up here, his robe came open, and I found out who one of the shepherds was. He had a Batman t-shirt. So one of the shepherds was Batman. Aren't the kids a blessing, though? And to come together as a church and as a group of people and to sing praises to God and to give glory to Him for His coming as a man, what a blessed privilege that is. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we come to you humbly. We come to you gratefully. Father, my prayer this morning is that we come to you with a heart filled with joy and gladness at what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus. And as we consider in great wonder the incarnation, may your Spirit draw us closer and closer to you and do it this morning, Father, by your word. Thank you for your word. Speak to us now through it. To you be glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 37, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And I believe in many ways that Luke chapter 1, verse 37 is the summary verse of this whole section. The angel said to Mary, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Do you see that? "For with God nothing will be impossible." So I ask you this morning, do you believe that truth? Have you experienced this truth? Will you stake your life and your future on this truth? Without God, nothing is impossible. If you're a Christian here this morning, I believe that God will bring you to a point somewhere and somehow in your life so that you will face this truth yourself. There will be a situation, there will be a circumstance that is completely out of your control. It will involve God's Word, God's promise, God's will, God's direction, and you will be faced with a decision. And if you choose to obey God, it will be hard, and it will be difficult, and it will make no sense, and it will be downright impossible. You see, God will bring us to situations that are impossible so that we can choose to trust Him, depend upon Him, look to Him. There are several impossibilities revealed here in this passage this morning that will encourage us to trust God. I want to be simple, and I'll try to be as short as possible, but there's truth here that will help us this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that God used an impossible place, Nazareth of Galilee. In verse 26, Luke writes, and he says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." We think about that this morning, and it's utterly amazing that God's plan for the incarnation begins here in a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You see, folks, it would make sense to people in that time, it would make sense to people today, that God would send His Son, the Savior, the Messiah, the King, to the most important place of that time, and that place would be Jerusalem. You see, the temple was in Jerusalem. The priests and the religious leaders were in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place for kings. And if God would come as a man, then God would surely, as that man, come to Jerusalem. But oh, God's ways are not our ways. And God is not always predictable. And God chose to unfold the events of the incarnation in the most obscure and insignificant and contemptible place in all of Israel, and He chose Nazareth of Galilee. Now, Nazareth was a small hill city in the region of Galilee. It was far from Jerusalem. It was far from acceptable Jewish society. It actually had a reputation for immorality and corruption. It was located on a major travel route, and all kinds of people from all over the world traveled through Galilee and through Nazareth. Its reputation was so bad that one of those men who would become a follower of Jesus Christ said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And yet it was the place that God chose to use. And frankly, in human understanding, it makes no sense. It doesn't fit the idea of God or God's Son or the Messiah living and growing up in Nazareth. Nazareth of Galilee was a place of reproach and contempt, and it surely was not a suitable place for Messiah. But yet, verse 37, the angel says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." God would use it. God would use that little hill city in His purpose and plan. And in His day and throughout history, Jesus Himself would not be referred to as Jesus of Jerusalem or Jesus of Bethlehem or Jesus of Judea, but Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Nazarene. You see, folks, when God chooses, when God makes a choice, He does the impossible. Notice also that God used impossible people, Joseph and Mary. Verse 27, Luke writes, "To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary." Now consider for a moment who God uses here. First of all, God would use Joseph. Folks, he was a common man. He was a carpenter by trade. He had no wealth, he had no fame, he had no education. The only thing that could be said about him, that he was of the lineage of David. He was in the family of King David. We find from the Scriptures that he was an upright man. He was a righteous man, a man of integrity, but he was a simple man. He was a common man from the hills of Galilee. And when we think about these facts, this sounds impossible. But this is exactly the man that God chose to teach and train and be a model of manhood for the Son of God, Jesus. And from man's perspective, it makes no sense. This won't work, but with God, nothing will be impossible. And Joseph trusted God, even in the midst of reproach and even in the midst of shame. Joseph trusted God to do the impossible. God would also use Mary. And Luke tells us here that Joseph was betrothed to a virgin named Mary. And so this was a young woman, no wealth, no education, not accustomed to the etiquette and the culture and the customs of important people in her day and powerful people in her day. She's about to be married. She is betrothed to Joseph. She is a virgin. She's not been swallowed up by the immoral, corrupt culture of her day. And this choosing of grace for Mary would not be easy because it would include pain and suffering and reproach and a loss of reputation and a scorn that would follow her all her days. And God would use this young Jewish girl from Nazareth of Galilee to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. And from man's perspective, this won't work. This is impossible. It makes no sense. But this is the young woman that God chooses to use. And with God, nothing will be impossible. And folks, if God can use a poor carpenter, and if God can use a young woman about to be married, then God can use you, and God can use me, and He can use our families, and He can use our neighbors, He can use our friends. And I would say to you, don't ever, ever give up on people. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And notice also that God used an impossible procedure, the virgin birth. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And so how did God become a man? In verse 27, the angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin. In verse 31, the angel said, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." In verse 34, Mary said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" You know, any way we look at it, this is an impossibility. But brothers and sisters, this was God's choice. God the Son would be conceived in the womb of a virgin. And look at the answer that the angel gives to Mary when she says, "How can this be?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" God would overshadow and envelop her. The active, creative, productive, overshadowing presence of God brings about conception. In Mary's womb, the pre-existent person of God the Son would be conceived as a sinless human being in the womb of this young woman. What an awesome, amazing, unbelievable, incomprehensible statement from the Word of God. This baby who would be born would be fully man and fully God. God the Son and the son of a simple girl from Nazareth. And that, brothers and sisters, is the mystery of the incarnation. And this is the impossibility. But yet, with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's a final impossibility. God also used an impossible plan, the salvation of man. Again, verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, I draw your attention to the last phrase here in verse 31, "and shall call his name Jesus." The baby's name would be Jesus. From the Hebrew to the English, it's Joshua. In the Hebrew, Yeshua. It means Jehovah is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. The angel will explain the significance of that name to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when he would say, "For he shall save his people from their sins." And so, folks, here then is another impossibility. Man cannot save himself. Every man, every human being is under the dominion and the bondage of sin. And no person can save themselves from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. And this name Jesus declares our need of salvation and the need of a Savior. And once again, God has done the impossible. He sent the Son of God to be the God-man. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on a human body in order that He might die for our salvation. The Apostle Paul, years later, would summarize this truth when he wrote to Timothy, and he writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Jesus Christ, both fully God and fully man, died to pay our sin penalty. He died to take the judgment that we deserved because of sin upon Himself. And the important question this morning, a question that every person here gathered must answer: will I put my trust in this God-man? Will I put my faith in this one, God the Son, eternal, preexistent, who came to this earth, took on human flesh, lived the perfect life, and died in our place, and was raised from the dead? That's the question that every person here must answer. Will I believe what God says? Will I put my trust in Jesus? Have you, by faith, received the God-man as your Savior? God did the impossible through Jesus Christ. Sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. And how? His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Let's bring it all together. Whatever impossibility that you face in your walk with God, know and learn from this passage that with God, nothing will be impossible. And so how do we respond to this God who does the impossible? We believe Him. We trust Him. We put our faith in Him through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, the simplicity of the gospel is before us this morning. And we've been reminded by ministry, by the children, by the adults. We've been reminded of Your great grace that has provided a salvation that is beyond our comprehension, but that we receive by faith with great joy and gratitude. Thank You for this great salvation that comes through Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus, who's not come to a point that they've acknowledged their sin and their helpless condition, God, I would pray this morning that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would repent and turn their faith and belief toward the God-man, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time this morning. May we just be encouraged, and may we worship today, and as we come back even this evening, Father, look forward to a time when we can exalt you and praise you through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen.